A reading from St. John, chapter 6. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I read something not long ago asserting that in the Lord's Prayer, we learn to pray first for what God wants, his name, his kingdom, and his will. Then in the balance of the prayer, that we learn to ask for our temporal needs. Whether the second half of that statement is accurate, we'll have opportunity to consider over the course of the next 3 Wednesdays. That the first part, with respect to the 3 thy petitions, is misleading, should be clear from the sermons on Ash Wednesday and last week, along with what you're about to hear this week. As we've seen so far, while God does indeed want his name to be hallowed and his kingdom to come, these things will happen whether we pray for them or not. When we pray these petitions, we are praying that his name would be hallowed among us through the faithful teaching of his word and our living according to it, and that his kingdom would come to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit and grace to believe his holy word. Are these things that God wants? Certainly. But even more importantly, they are things that we need. If we are to be spared God's eternal wrath and escape the unending sufferings of hell, it's urgent that we hold God's name as holy and that his kingdom come to us. Following the pattern he set in explaining the first 2 petitions, Luther explains the third. The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. What is this will of God about which we pray when we say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? One of the ways this has been interpreted down through the centuries has focused on our doing of God's will, almost as if we were praying, "Your commandments be obeyed on earth as they are in heaven." That such obedience is godly is certainly the case. And there is blessing in obedience to God's commands. He has ordered his creation in such a way that things generally go better for you when you aren't in a state of rebellion against him. Liars, thieves, cheaters, and murderers tend to have less peaceful lives than those who don't bear false witness, who respect other people's property, who are faithful to their spouse, and who do not commit murder. "Do this, and you will live," Jesus says concerning the commandments. But what happens when you don't? There's a concise word of God for that, too. The wages of sin is death. The fact is that no matter how often and how sincerely you pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," you won't do his will perfectly. So where does that leave you? Well, the meaning of "thy will be done" is not covered simply in our obeying the commandments. Not by a long shot. More than just wanting people to obey his commands, God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And just to be clear, the Greek verb that is translated "wants" or "desires" in this verse from 1 Timothy is found in a form of a noun and translated as "will" in the petition, "Thy will be done." What God wants, that is, his will and his desire, is the salvation of sinners, is your salvation. As Luther explains in his smaller catechism, God's will is done when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die. This is his good and gracious will. Jesus teaches this clearly in this evening's text. "This is the will of him who sent me," he says, "that I should lose nothing of all that he has given to me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." Most poignantly, this is made clear in Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane, when concerning the cup of God's righteous wrath against sin, concerning his own suffering and death on the cross for your redemption, Jesus prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Thus, when you pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," you are praying, at least partially, for God's mercy and grace for sinners, are praying for your salvation, and interceding for the salvation of others. In my study here at church, I have a page from a book printed back in 1648. Illustrating this petition. I shared a copy of it in the worship folder this past Sunday. As you may remember, the main image depicts Jesus carrying his cross on the way to Golgotha, and he's followed by a whole crowd of people who have each taken up a cross of their own and are following him. In the upper left corner of the page, though, the clouds are pulled back, revealing God enthroned among the angels, gesturing to one angel who is holding a cross, as if to say, "From before the foundation of the world, my perfect will in heaven is that my holy and innocent Son would die on a cross to take away the sins of all people." Jesus' death on the cross is the epitome of God's will being done on earth. For in his death is the means by which he has saved you and a whole world of sinners. The cross that each Christian bears, Luther would note, is vitally necessary. Necessary because the old Adam in you, your sinful nature, along with the world and its prince, the devil, vociferously oppose God's will. At every opportunity, with whatever means and methods are available, They work to prevent God's will from being done by you, and even more significantly, for you. This tremendous conflict between the wills of God and Satan is fought on the battlefield of a believer's heart. Yet considering it from the perspective of God's saving will, Luther views this conflict positively. Indeed, he describes it as the dear holy cross. He recognizes that behind the attack of the devil or the old man is God's gracious will that orders such things for the purpose of hindering our will and for more blessedness in his kingdom. Our Lutheran confessions follow this way of thinking when they teach that God in his purpose has ordained before the time of the world by what crosses and sufferings he would conform every one of his elect to the image of his Son. His cross shall and must work together for good for everyone because they are called according to God's purpose. Luther summarizes the Lord's Prayer to this point, this third petition, well, in his large catechism. He writes, "Look, we have in these three petitions, in the simplest way, the needs that relate to God himself. Yet they are all for our sakes. Whatever we pray concerns us alone. As we have said before, we pray that what must be done without us anyway may also be done in us. As God's name must be hallowed and his kingdom come whether we pray or not, so also his will must be done and succeed. This is true even though the devil with all his followers raise a great riot, are angry and rage against it, and try to exterminate the gospel completely. But for our own sakes, we must pray that even against their fury, his will be done without hindrance among us also. We pray so that they may not be able to accomplish anything, and that we may remain firm against all violence and persecution, and submit to God's will." And so our prayer this Lenten tide is, "Our Father, thy will, thy good and gracious will, be done for us and for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen." The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.